Joining me right now here on the Knock On Sports to talk college football opening week, it is my good friend Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. Joe, how you doing today?
Oh, chomping at the bit, Anthony. This is what it's all about. The real week one of the season starts this coming Thursday. I can't wait.
You know, that's funny you mentioned that, Joe. I didn't even realize there were some college football games on last week as well. I know BYU played Portland State, Cal Poly played Colgate. There's a couple FCS games going on as well. But, yeah, finally get the real week one going here with a lot of big-time matchups.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. I mean, front and center stage, we have top 25 battles across the Power 5 conferences. We have ACC, SEC, SEC, Big Ten. So this is what it's all about. We'll really see which contenders will be there in the end, week number one.
Well, Joe, let's start breaking those games down, and we'll get to some of the big-time matchups a little bit later in this conversation, but I want to start with some of the ones that maybe you think are a little under the radar that you think will be really good for fans to keep an eye on.
Well, I really like that Labor Day night matchup between Tennessee and Georgia Tech. It's an under-the-radar game. The game is played in Atlanta. You're talking about a Georgia Tech team that will be without their leading rusher, Dedrick Mills, that was kicked off the team. You look at Tennessee, 9-4 last year. A lot of people believe this is a sleeping giant, but I don't see it. I think it's a triple option attack of Paul Johnson. They were 3-0 against SEC teams last year. They defeated Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Kentucky. And they're going to be going up against a Tennessee defense that allowed 218 rushing yards per game last year. I like Georgia Tech in this matchup, and I have my eye on that game Labor Day night.
Joe, well, also another game that I'm keeping my eye on is Texas and Maryland. New regime for Texas, a new start for Texas. What can you expect or what do you expect from this game?
Yeah, I think the advantage does go to Texas in this matchup because of their physicality on the offensive defensive lines. You're looking at a Maryland team that was 6-7 last year but did not beat a team with a winning record in 2016. On the flip side, you're looking at a team in Texas that I think a lot of people just expect a 360-degree turnaround from the Charlie Strong era with new head coach Tom Herman. I don't see it. I mean, 2 years ago, Texas lost seven games by a total score of 273 to 146. They lost seven games last year by a total of 62 points. They cut down the margin of defeat to right around 8.8 points per game. But there's a lot of inefficiency on the defensive side of the ball. It's a defense that allowed 31 points per game and 189 rushing yards on the ground to opposing offenses, Anthony. So I give this slight edge because of the quarterback, Shane Buechele, but I think this is a very difficult season overall for Texas in this matchup.
Another very interesting matchup I want to keep my eye on is Oklahoma State and Tulsa. Tulsa, a decent team. You know, they're not going to be somebody that's going to rank in the top 25, but they can be a very frustrating team to certain opponents.
They can. From an offensive perspective and scheme, I agree with you. But the one MO that you have to look at with Tulsa heading into this matchup, they're going to be without their four-year starter, Dane Evans, and who moved on to the NFL at the quarterback position, and their top two leading wide receivers. So a lot of inexperience, not only at the quarterback position, but at the wide receiver position. And they're going to be going up against probably the most prolific offense in college football, led by a Heisman Trophy candidate in quarterback Mason Rudolph, that threw 28 touchdowns, four interceptions last year. You look at the wide receivers of James Washington and Jalen McCleskey. I mean, that's one of the best duos in college football, along with running back Justice Hill. So I give the edge to Oklahoma State in this battle, but it should be very entertaining week number one for the season.
Joe, another game that Eastern Washington, an FCS program that has had its fair share of knocking off FBS opponents, they're going to take on Texas Tech. Do you think Eastern Washington can knock off Texas Tech?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's a type of offense that can really challenge the Red Raiders. And when you look at a coach on the hot seat, I think it is Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, he's been under 500 in the Big 12 the last three seasons. Hasn't really stepped up against the better teams in the conference. He loses Patrick Mahomes, that accounted for 77 passing touchdowns over the last 2 years. So I would put Texas Tech on upset alert. They've had a lot of transfers from that program over the last couple of years. So that's a game that you have to keep an eye out for, because Eastern Washington can put up some points in that matchup.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com, and we're talking about some of the highly ranked matchups in this week's opening weekend of college football. And Joe, one that stands out to me is Wisconsin and Utah State, that game being played Friday night. And Wisconsin should have the advantage here, but Utah State in years past, when they open up the season, have given some teams fits.
Yeah, including Wisconsin years ago in Camp Randall. They almost won that ball game with Chucky Keaton as their quarterback. This is not going to be an easy game because Utah State is a blue-collar team by their head coach, Matt Wells. They have a quarterback in Kent Myers that's a mobile quarterback. You look at the defensive side of the ball, though, for Wisconsin. They lose their top two leading tacklers in TJ Watt and Vince Beagle from that team. They are really thin at the linebacker position. Two linebackers will be out for this game due to injury. So that's the matchup that you want to see play out. I do feel Wisconsin wins this ball game, but I expect Utah to play very well in this week one matchup.
Now let's get to some of the bigger ones. Michigan versus Florida. This one had a lot of hype going into this game, Joe. But seven players suspended, some big-time players for Florida's offense suspended. And on top of that, neither coach is naming a starter.
Yeah, I mean, this is a rematch of 2 years ago when Michigan dominated the bowl game 41-7 over Florida. Florida's going to go with Malik Zaire, Felipe Franks, and Luke Del Rio in this matchup. But here's what I look at when I break down this game. You're talking about a team in Michigan that held 8 of 13 opponents under 100 yards rushing. They were 8-0 in those games, Anthony, and won those games by 37 points per game. In their three losses to Iowa, Ohio State, and Florida State, they allowed over 100 yards rushing in each of those games. So that's the matchup that you want to see play out. Florida had problems running the football at the end of the year last year. They only averaged 128 yards on the ground, and in the last six games of the season, they did not have a rushing touchdown. But I like the secondary of the Gators in this matchup. They held all 13 opponents in 2016 under 58% completion percentage, and they held 7 of 13 under 50% completion percentage. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Wilton Spate in this ball game. I'm calling for the upset. I like Florida 23-17 over Michigan in this matchup.
Joe, do you see where both of these teams, and both offensively, both Michigan's offense and Florida's offense, do you see them really struggling in this game?
I think they can. I think when you look at it with the loss of Callaway, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the offensive line and, more importantly, the quarterbacks to stretch Michigan's defense vertically. But I think when you look at this matchup overall, Michigan loses 33 of the team's 46 total sacks, or 71%, from last year. And the loss of outside linebacker Jabril Peppers, to me, is the biggest loss for the Wolverines. I mean, what he was able to do in terms of forcing offensive lines to account for him at all times was a main reason why Michigan was solid in run support. On the flip side, you look at Wilton Spate in that offense, they lose Darbo, they lose Chessington, they lose tight end Jake Butt, along with Devion Smith, their leading rusher, for that offense. So there could be a lot of inconsistency in terms of continuity and cohesiveness week number one. So that's why I expect a low-scoring game, but I give the edge to Florida's speed on the perimeter as the difference.
Joining me right now to talk to some of the big-time matchups in week one of the college football season is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. And Joe, some of the primetime matchups this week, you look at number 22, West Virginia, and number 21, Virginia Tech. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I mean, a very intriguing battle. I mean, two new quarterbacks, Will Grier, the former Florida quarterback that will start for Dana Holgorsen and West Virginia in this ballgame. He does have a big play running back in Justin Crawford that averaged over 7 yards per carry. On the flip side, Josh Jackson is a redshirt freshman for Justin Fuente. They lose their tight end, Bucky Hodges, and leading wide receiver, Isaiah Ford. That could hurt the offensive continuity in that week one matchup. I like West Virginia here. I think Will Grier is an athletic quarterback. He could put pressure on Virginia Tech's defense on the perimeter. I think that's the difference. I think it's a very close game, but I give the edge to West Virginia 31-27 in this ballgame.
Going to be a very interesting matchup between West Virginia and Virginia Tech. And now, Joe, let's talk about the big-time matchup, the game everyone's going to be keeping their eye on, and that's Florida State versus Alabama. And for you, what's the initial matchup that you're looking at for this game?
Well, I think it comes down to DeAndre Francois and his ability to stretch Alabama's defense vertically. You look at Alabama, I mean, they allowed three teams last year, Anthony, to throw for over 400 yards. It was Arkansas, it was Ole Miss, and it was Clemson in the national championship game. They only allowed two teams last year to rush for over 100 yards. It was Ole Miss at 101, Texas A&M at 114. So if DeAndre Francois can attack that secondary early on in that matchup, that could loosen up running lanes for Patrick and Cam Akers, and Florida State could be in this ballgame. You also want to keep an eye out on for the offensive line. Florida State allowed 36 sacks as a unit. Alabama had 54 total sacks in 2016, but they lose 36.5 of those with seniors and juniors transferring to the NFL. So that's the matchup you want to see play out. Can Florida State's offensive line give DeAndre Francois enough time to attack that secondary? I think they can. I like their chances in this week one matchup.
Joe, you talked about the running backs for Florida State. Obviously, Dalvin Cook gone, but can these guys have the same similar impact, whether it's running between the tackles or having enough speed to outrun the Alabama defense?
Yeah, I think they can. I think when you look at it, their ability in the short to intermediate passing game could be the difference in this matchup. Coupled with the fact that you give head coach Jimbo Fisher 6 months to prepare for this game, he's one of the best offensive game planners in college football. Now, it's not going to be easy. Alabama hasn't lost a week one matchup in 15 straight years. They're 15-0 since 2001 and have won those games by 25.4 points per game. Their last loss came in 2001 against UCLA. On the flip side, you look at Florida State over the last 10 games against the SEC, they're 9-1 and have won those games by 15.8 points per game. Their last loss against an SEC foe came in 2012 against Florida. But I really feel that it comes down to the quarterback, DeAndre Francois. I mean, this is one of the most prolific offenses that Alabama has faced in a week one matchup. I know they've played Wisconsin and Joel Stavi. They played Michigan and Denard Robinson. They played USC with Brown at the quarterback position. It's a different beast with DeAndre Francois, and I think that's the difference in this week one matchup. I'm calling for the upset. 24-20, Florida State wins this ballgame.
I like the prediction. And real quickly, let's flip on the other side. Jalen Hurts, first time Alabama's returning a quarterback here. And for the Florida State defense, a lot of youth last year, a lot of those guys now experienced. What do you see for them as they take on this Alabama offense and those big backs from Alabama?
Yeah, that's a great point. Bo Scarborough rushed for over 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. They also have Damian Harris and Najee Harris. So a three-headed beast at the running back position. I really think it comes down to Florida State's ability to keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket, especially on third downs. You look at the last couple of games against Washington and Clemson last year, Alabama struggled as an offensive unit in terms of third down conversions. They converted 4 of 14 against Washington. That was 28%. In the national championship game, it was 2 of 15, 13%. So that's the matchup that you want to see play out. Can Florida State play man-to-man coverage and force Jalen Hurts in the pocket? They have two big play defensive backs in McFadden and Derwin James. Look for Derwin James to be a spy to keep Jalen Hurts off the perimeter. I think they can be in this ballgame, and I think that's a defensive matchup you want to see play out in this ballgame.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com as we're talking college football in week one of the season. Joe, how can they follow your work?
Yeah, they can follow me on GoForTheTwo. That's the number two.com. Or they can follow me on Twitter at GoForTheTwo. And my show is now on Dish Network, channel 266. This coming Saturday, 9 to 12 Eastern, 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific. Dish, channel 266, and Fantasy Sports Radio Network and Television Network.
Joe looks great on TV, folks, so make sure you check him out if you got Dish Network. Joe, always a pleasure to have you on the show and talk college football. Looking forward to a great weekend and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
I can't wait, Anthony. Love the show. Love talking college football with you.